you look in your hymnal on page 845, we'll read together, read the responsive reading, Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet were standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city and is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel. Thrones for judgment were sent there, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. If you'd like to follow along in your Pew Bible, it's on page 594. Our Hebrew Bible lesson is Isaiah 2, 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah saw, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their plows, their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. That can be found on page 152 in your Pew Bible's New Testament. Romans, the Christian's Constitution. Hear these words. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone and the day is near. Let us lay aside the work of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reviling and drunkenness, not in debauchery or licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel according to Matthew, Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. This may sound out of place, but it's absolutely correct for today. If you'd like to follow along, you'll find this reading in your Pew Bible on page 26 of the New Testament. Let us hear these words. This is Jesus speaking. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let the house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Clearly, all of these scripture passages talk to us in one way or another about getting ready for Jesus the Christ. Despite the way it may sound at first hearing, especially this last reading, this is exactly what we need to hear and to heed as we move through Advent and on toward Christmas. When you look up that word Advent, you'll find that it means the arrival of Jesus, and literally, quote, the coming of Christ into the world. Now, this definition also points out that Advent refers to both the first coming and the second coming. So as we approach Christmas, we need to consider this first coming of Jesus as a baby in Bethlehem. But we also need to consider the second coming of Jesus at the end of time as well. And so the operative question for today is rightly this: how are you preparing yourself for Jesus' arrival? When we look at these readings from the Hebrew Bible, from Isaiah and Psalm 122, we come to the realization that we talked about last week. The chosen people had long anticipated the arrival of their promised Savior. God promised them that there would be one from the house of David who would provide peace within your walls and security within your towers. For literally hundreds of years, the people waited and hoped and prayed for peace and security and justice. We pray that same prayer today. Throughout Advent, in Christmas readings and in Christmas cards, we often find the more poetic words of Isaiah describing what it will be like when God's kingdom comes to full fruition. From Isaiah, "He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Sounds like a wonderful dream, doesn't it? Do you know what a plowshare is? Some of you do because you've lived on a farm. I had to look it up. A plowshare is the metal edge of the plow itself. As it bends down into the earth, that plowshare is the edge. And do you know what a pruning hook is? Some of you do. It's kind of ironic that they take a spear. A pruning hook is a long wooden staff with a curved hook on the end. It's used for pruning bushes, trees. They still use it today. So it would be delightful if we could turn our implements of war into implements of agriculture. But when you think about these passages, that Isaiah passage and Psalm 122, they're not really about preparation for the coming of Christ as much as they are about anticipating his arrival and longing for that eventuality. The readings from Romans and from the Gospel of Matthew, on the other hand, are surely about our critical need to prepare for the second coming of Christ. In Matthew, Jesus is telling his disciples about this end time. If you remember a little bit further earlier in this description, he's talking in some detail about what they should look for, about the signs of this amazing event. But then he goes on to talk about the timing. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. This is an unsettling business, this waiting for the second coming. Matthew goes on, keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And if this kind of urgency is not enough, we hear it in even more specific terms from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Paul is talking directly to the people of the house churches of Rome in the first century. This is after Jesus' ascension into heaven. And so that the images that he portrays are concrete and especially meaningful. First of all, he says that it is as though the people are asleep. And they need to wake up. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Now, this wasn't only a beautiful metaphor, but rather it was a common expectation. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples that he would return, just as we read in Matthew. The people of Paul's time, that first century, were waiting expectantly for the return of the Messiah. They knew that Jesus was coming back very soon. In fact, they believed that it would be literally any time now. This is the reason that in other letters, Paul tells the people that they don't need to worry about getting a job or getting married. Jesus was coming back that soon. And so Paul reminds these folks that they need to behave correctly in the meantime. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Their actions rightly ought to honor Jesus before his imminent return. Woven into this advice is another beautiful image, the armor of light. Think about this image as it came across to the people who lived in the first century, especially those who lived in Rome, the seat of power for the Roman Empire. There were Roman soldiers in armor walking the streets of their city, keeping the peace and enforcing the laws. Armor was a symbol of the overwhelming power of the Romans for the oppression and subjugation under which these people lived. And so when Paul talks about the armor of light, we are forced to see power in a new way. Put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus. Rather than living in the darkness of sin and death, we are to walk in the light of a new day, fully clothed and protected from evil by this armor of light, the mantle of the kingdom of God, made possible by the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, my sisters and brothers, in the frantic commercialization of the onrushing Christmas season, we need to slow down and consider what this Advent really means. We need to remember that we are anticipating the arrival of Jesus as a baby in a manger in a cave in Bethlehem, and as Christ the King bringing about a new heaven and a new earth at the end of earthly time. This duality is the reality of God's kingdom. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Besides this, you know what time it is. How it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Let us prepare for the coming of Jesus. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, it is time to put on the armor of light. Amen.